Well, amen. It's good to be with you this morning. And I was a freshman back in 1991, so I was back in the 1900s. Probably most of you in here weren't born yet, but we were. Things were much different then. The gym and the pool and the racquetball court and all those things were dreams of the future that we knew that we would never get to experience, but it is a blessing that some of my kids are able to experience them now, and so we had a good time last night at the racquetball court, and but God has blessed you here, and I pray that you continue to pray for Fairhaven, and we continue to pray for Fairhaven. God is doing a work here, and I know there's some changes coming, but you know what? God knew that that was going to happen when he told you to come to Fairhaven, amen? So things change in life, but God knows ahead of time. So it's no surprise to God. It may be a surprise to us, but it's no surprise to God. So when I think of my college years, there was a lot of things that the last few days I've been reminiscing. But I think about the dorms, and almost everybody had a typewriter. Anybody in here not seen a typewriter? So you guys know what typewriters are. But in the dorm, everybody pretty much had typewriters. And there was two computers in our dorm when I was a freshman, and it was Mr. Reinhardt and Jeff Dean, which I think he's pastor out in the West Coast now. Those were the two computers. Other than that, there was no computers, and they were big stack units, you know, with big monitors, and they were the guys that were way ahead of time. So you're able to learn from one of those, so count that a privilege. But I have a lot of good memories of Fairhaven, and trust that you are making some memories here also. You can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It's going to be just a minute before we get there. And I don't know that I'm going to say anything that you haven't heard this morning, but I want to speak to you from my heart, and I want to be an encouragement to you. In a few weeks, this semester will be ending, and there'll be some seniors that are graduating. There'll be some young people going to Bible time, maybe some ministries for the summer. Maybe there's some here that don't know exactly what they're doing, if they're coming back next year or not, or what God would have you do. And so I want to be an encouragement to you at this time. I want to read this passage. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 is one of my special verses that has meant a lot to me. And it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What a wonderful verse. If you have some time this week, we're going to go through this verse and some phrases, but spend some time and really think about this verse and ask God what he would have you do with his life, with your life, because he has something great for you if you're submissive to him. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for today and being able to be here. And Lord, I ask that you would work in the hearts of the young people, that they would desire to love and to serve you with their life. We look forward to your return, and Lord, we ask that we would stay faithful until you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get to this passage, I want to ask three questions. And the first question you may think is a little bit odd for me to ask you in this particular setting, but I want you to seriously give it some thought. And that first question is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you know, this last week, I asked the same question to my people back home. Because it's very important. I wonder today that if the rapture were to take place right now, how many would be left in this room? Now, I would hope the room would be empty. But you know what? In a room this size, I would say there is probably one, two, hopefully not more than three or four. But you know, it's a personal relationship between you and God. And I think our churches are full of people that have prayed prayers, because we have a lot of second-generation Christians that have grown up in Christian homes. And we know all the verses, we know all these things, and we've prayed to ask Jesus to come into our heart, but our heart has not been transformed to our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something different than praying a prayer and truly trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There was a pastor that I talked to once, and he was telling me about his son. And he said after one of the morning services, his son came to the office and said, "You know what? I want to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." And his dad said, "Oh, that's great. I'm excited." I said, "Pull up a chair and let's talk for a minute." And he said, "Do you like me telling you what to do?" He said, "No, not necessarily." He said, "Do you like mom telling you what to do?" "No, necessarily. Not necessarily." And he said, "You know what, son?" He said, I don't think you're ready to trust Christ as your Savior, because if you do, you're going to have a third person telling you what to do. And you know what? That's the way it is in life. We don't like to be told what to do. We know, don't we? You know, especially if you're a senior, you know it all now, right? And just a year or two from now, you realize, or maybe 5 years, you realize how little you really knew back then. But you know what? That's salvation. It's a transformation. It's a giving up of your own desires and your own life and desiring to live for God. That's what it's all about, of trusting Christ as your personal Savior. If there's one in this room that has not done that, and if you don't know from your heart where you will spend eternity, I trust that you will do that today. Seek somebody out. Probably most of you in this room already know the passages. But you know what? It's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. You know, at times I'll think about somebody that I went to college with, and I'll get on Facebook and think, you know what, I'm going to look up this person. And every once in a while I'll look up somebody, and I look at their page and stuff, and I think, where's God in their life? And I mean, sometimes it looks like a wicked person. And I think, you know what? I went to school with that person. They sat in chapel just like I did. They heard the preaching just like I did. And you know what? They're not living a godly life. And I wonder, is there one in here like that is here because mom and dad want you to be here? Maybe a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. Someone encouraged you to come and so, yeah, you're going along with it. My other classmates went along and are here, so I'm going to do it. But in your heart, when you're away from chapel, when it's you all by yourself, what is your real desires in your life? Do you desire to bring honor and glory to your Heavenly Father? Secondly, I want to ask you a question. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know God? Do you know God? You know, that's what the Christian life is all about. It's not just a fire escape. It is because God wants us to have a walk with Him, to get to know Him. So that when you pray, you might not get a yes or no today, but God hears your prayers and answers your prayers. I don't know about you, but I could preach a message on God answering prayers. And it's exciting in the Christian life when you pray and you see God answer your prayers. You pray about something that nobody else knows about. It's between me and God. God, I'm going to ask you to do something. And then see Him answer your prayer. That's where your relationship with God draws closer. And that's what every one of you need. Because you know what? I don't know what is ahead of you in your life. But we must daily follow Him. We must daily desire to grow closer to Him. God, I want to know Your will for my life. You know, there are many people in here that probably maybe are looking for a girlfriend or looking for a boyfriend or whatever. And it's a search, right? I mean, this is a treasure hunt. We're going to figure this out. You know what? The most important thing for you to do, please God, do what God wants you to do today. Be the best roommate. Be the best classmate. Look for opportunities to serve God. And you know what? When you do what God wants you to do at the right time, God works it out. So many times we try so hard myself, and I told someone this morning, you know, I went to college and I was the same way. You know, God, is it her? Is it her? Is it her? What's her name? You know, all these things. And you know, when I determined it in my heart that I'm just going to do what God wants me to do and rest in Him, it was like, you know what? There she was. It was like, you know, God was just waiting for me to say, okay, you need to quit on your own and I'll take care of it. But so many times in our life, we're trying. God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be a pastor? Do you want me to be a missionary? Do you want me to be a teacher? What do you want me to do? And many times God will call us to be specific things. But you know what? In our life, that may change. God may call you to preach, and then God may say, you know what, I want you on the mission field, or vice versa. It's a daily walk with Jesus Christ. You must know God. Know God. And that's where our journey today has to start, wherever you are at. Get to know God so that you can pray and see what He has for you. And then number three, as you get to know God, submit to His leading. Submit to His leading. Because sometimes God shows us things, and you know what? That doesn't really go along with my plan. And you know what? I'm headed this way, and all of a sudden God says, I want you to do this. And all of a sudden we're like, well, that's not in my plan, so I've already got my goals, God. This is the way we're going, and I really want you to bless me. That's not how God works. God wants us to follow His leading in our lives and be submissive to Him. Do what God wants us to do in our life. A couple months ago, we had a couple come visit the church, and I went and introduced myself to them, and it was a couple with two college students. They said, yeah, they're going to a Bible college and whatever. One was going to be a missionary. One was going to be a school teacher, and I was excited and stuff, and I was talking to the father. And meanwhile, the girl reaches over and takes the water bottle from her brother, and her brother says, and I'm just kind of, you know, peripheral vision, I'm just talking to the father, and he says, that's all I have to make it through church, so don't drink it all. And so she takes off the cover, and she says, go, 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 go. And I could tell that he was just starting to fume. So he reaches over and grabs a water bottle, knocks it off her hand, spills it on her shirt, on her dress, on the floor. It was just like, you know, I'm thinking, you come here, tell me you're a Bible student, but you know what? Over a bottle of water, your reputation is nothing. You know, and I wonder how many times we're in the world and the world's looking at us, there's a Bible college student there. And we do something that they look at us and go, really? No, I don't think so. I'm not interested in that. We need to follow God's leading in our life. I said all that to preference this verse, and I want to look at this in a few phrases as we go through this verse. So in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able. Do you know God is able, young person? How many times in our life do we experience a problem, and then we wonder, you know what? God just doesn't see me. You know, he's missing out in this situation. But God is able. Now unto him that is able. There is nothing God cannot do. Now I thank the Lord for technology. When I was in the dorm, we had phones on the wall, you know, and you'd get prepaid cards, and you could be on the phone for 15 minutes and all this type of stuff. And now we have cell phones, and you got computers you carry around in your pockets, and everybody's got an iPad or whatever. And so technology is great. My brother recently just bought a 3D printer. And if any of you have seen any of those things work, they are just phenomenal. You know, he can print a plastic chain with links, and he can program it, and he can print out a chain where when it's done printing, you can pick the chain up and move it, and I mean, it's all loose, and it's a chain. Can you imagine? You start with this spool of plastic, and you just program it, and all of a sudden, it just starts going, and when it's done, there is a printed chain that you can print. He is in the process now of printing out a remote control airplane. He flies remote control airplanes, and so he is printing out of a plastic spool the whole airplane. You print a wing, you print the other wing, you print the front wing, the tail wing, the fuselage, you print everything. Then when it comes to the tires, you can print the tires. What size of tire you want, what size hole you're going to use for the bolt, so you can print the tire. It's just amazing what technology can do for us today. But with all of that, we look in Genesis, and you know what? God created the world, and he spoke it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Isn't that exciting? I mean, with all of our technology and all the things we have at our fingertips, that doesn't compare to our God. Our God is much further than that. Now, unto him that is able. So I don't know what it is in your life that maybe is a struggle for you, and maybe you're feeling all alone. God is able. He is able to help you in whatever situation it is in our life. It is wonderful. God created everything. He knows about your problem. Will you draw close to him? Get to know him. Know him as your Savior. And then follow his leading when he speaks to you in your life. The second phrase here is, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask. Think about this with me for a minute. What have you asked God to do? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, God wants to do even more than that, above what we ask. Now, many times we ask things and we think, you know what, I'm going to ask God for this, but I'll really settle for this because I probably won't get it. You know what? God says, I want to do above what you ask in your life. And not only that, but it says exceedingly abundantly, not just above what we ask, but exceedingly and abundantly. Isn't that exciting? We ought to be excited about that. Some of you here, maybe you're are maybe coming for a year to see what God will do in your life or where to direct you. And it's an important year in your life. But you know what? Don't look at the ministry as being, you know what? I don't really want to do the ministry because I want to, you know, be an engineer or be a nurse or be a doctor or whatever God has for you. And if God directs you in any of those areas, that's what you need to do. But don't ever look at the ministry of saying, you know what? Okay, God, if you want me to preach or you want me to go to a mission field or whatever, I'll do it. You know, God has something special for you in your life. God wants what is best for you. And here, Paul wanted the Ephesians to understand that God wants to understand that what we pray for doesn't hinge on the ability of our God. It hinges on his will. The ability of God is far beyond what we think. It hinges on God's will. So we need to align our will to God. What do you want? I'm going to lay all my desires aside. God, what do you want? I know you as my personal Savior. I want to draw myself close to you and know you in a special way. And God, I'll be submissive. If your will goes outside what my desires are, God's will is better than what you want, young person. It's exciting what God will do when you follow his leading in your life. The next part is, the next two words is, or think. Now it says here that he will do, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask. But it doesn't stop there. It says, or think. Think with me on that for a minute. God wants to do more than even what you think. So whatever you think is the best, God says, I got something better for you. Even more than what you think is best, that's what I want for you. As a teenager, I loved aviation. And to be able to fly, and I would fly some line control airplanes where you make airplanes and you have two strings that control the elevator and you fly them in circles. And I basically would spend hours building them and then crash them in about a minute. And then I'd go back and rebuild them and then crash them and never really was very successful at it. But I loved aviation. And I thought, oh, I'd love to be able to fly. Well, through the years, it never really worked out. Three years ago or so, I thought, I'm getting older. I would really love to be able to experience flying. And I was on Marketplace one day and looking at some things, and it said, we'll trade four-wheeler, you know, snowmobile, motorcycle for pilot lessons. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to contact this guy and say, you know what? I just want a couple lessons. I'm not going to get my license, but I just want to be able to fly. Will you just take me up and fly? Well, my schedule was busy, and it never really worked out. And so winter came and stuff. Well, we had a sweetheart's banquet. And after the banquet, my wife came over. I was talking to different people. And she said, you need to go meet so-and-so. He has his pilot license. I said, okay. And so I was finished talking to who I was with and went over and sat down and introduced myself and stuff. And to make a long story short, we got to know each other. And he took my name and he said, you know what? And he says, I'll take you up flying. I thought, wow, that's great. Anybody promise you something and then it never really happens? You know, I'll take you flying. Yeah, right. And you never hear from him again. Well, this man was a man of his word. And it was, I don't know, a few months later, this was probably February, so it was spring. I get a call and he says, hey, are you free? You know, such and such morning, I'll take you up flying. I thought, okay, this is great. I'll meet you at the airport and you can take me up flying. Well, that was the start of a relationship with a dear friend in my life. You know what? We have probably flown, I don't know how many hours together that we have flown, but it's probably been a dozen times in the last couple years. And he'll just call and say, hey, I want to go flying. Where you want to go? Let's go, you know. And we'll go flying for an hour or so and land the plane and stop and get lunch and then fly back. And we just had all kinds of fun times. There's some grass strips in Wisconsin. And say, you ever landed a grass strip? I'm like, I've never landed a grass strip. All right, this is going to be exciting. It's a short strip, you know, and we'll go down and he'll land in this short strip and we'll get out and talk to the owner of the little strip and stuff. And then, okay, we're going to take back off. And, you know, it's a little bit different in the short strip. And there's some trees at the end of the runway. And he'd tell me what he's doing a little bit different because we got to get some quick lift in here. And I'll tell you what, I've had the time of my life flying with him. You know what? That's way far more than I ever thought. You know, I wanted to be able to experience flying. And now we go and he'll say, you know what? I'm going to take off and then the plane's yours. You fly it. And then, you know, we get, I'll fly back to the airport and he'll say, okay, my plane. And he'll land the plane. You know, I've had so much fun with him and the experiences that we've had. You know what, though? It probably took 40 years for that dream to happen in my life. You know, many times in our life, timing is a big thing with God. We may want something now. You know, the Bible says he'll give us the desire of our heart. But you know what? We have to put him first. Do what God wants us to do. And as we put God first and put God first and put God first, then he says, you know what? All right, I'm going to bless you. And I'll tell you what, I've had some wonderful times with Brother Johnson. We've had great times together. And so many times I tell him, I was like, you know what? You're just an answer to prayer. You just fulfilled a dream of mine from being a kid. And he's taken our kids flying, and actually, Ellie and Caleb and Hannah were back for fall break last fall, and he was out flying, and he says, yeah, he said, bring them over to the airport. He said, I'll take them up. So they got to go for a flight. I think all of our kids have, everybody but my wife. And she's like, no, I'll stay on the ground. If you just taxi around with me and don't leave the ground, I'll go for a ride with you. But she doesn't want to leave the ground. But it's been exciting. But you know what? That's what God has for us, more than what we can even think. It's exciting what God has for us. And that's why I want to encourage you today. Don't give up on God. He has something wonderful for you. Draw close to him. Then the next one here is, according to his power. According to God's power. God has something very powerful in our life. He is not limited to anything in our life. God wants to strengthen us. Think with me of Abraham and Sarah. They were past the childbearing age. Is that a limitation to God? Not if it's in his will. You know, I know some people that have desired to have kids and haven't been able to. What is God's will for your life? If it's God's will for your life, then it will happen. If it's not God's will for your life, then we need to say, okay, God, I really wanted this, but I'll accept what you have for me. That's the exciting part of a Christian life. According to his power, God has power to enable a woman to get pregnant. But you know what? Sometimes God says, I know you really want that, but not this time. And then there's times when we say, okay, we've given up. And God says, you know what? I got a surprise for you. You're 90 years old. You're going to have a baby. I remember Sarah laughed, right? Wouldn't all of you? But God says, you know what? According to his power, there are no limitations to God. Young person, don't you want to be part of that power? Amen. Don't you want to have that at your fingertips? Not to be able to command it, but to have it there and say, God, you are all powerful. And if that is what your will is in for my life, I believe that you are going to do it for us. And the next part of that verse is that worketh in us. That worketh in us. Young person, you need to know that you are saved. You need to get to know God in your life. And number three, you need to be submissive to his will. And you can experience this in your specific life. God wants this for everybody. God wants to do great things in our life. Even more than we ask, even more than we think. Think with me for a minute of the woman at the well. The woman at the well in John chapter 4, she came to the well to get water. But you know what? She left that well with living water. She came to get some physical water to be able to drink, to give to her animals, maybe to her flowers or whatever. And you know what? God says, I have something better for you. I'm going to give you water that you'll never thirst again. How much better is that than the physical water that woman wanted that day? Think with me of the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. You know, he was at the pool, and what did he ask for? If I just had a man that would help when the water is disturbed, if you would just put me in the water. What was he asking for? He was asking for Jesus to come and sit by him and watch that water. And Jesus says, wait a second, I got something better than that. Because of your faith, get up and take up your bed. Isn't that exciting, people? Many times in our life, we want God to do something for us, and God's saying, I got something better for you. If you will follow me, If you'll do what I ask you to do, I have something better. You don't have to wait for that water anymore. Just take up your bed and let's go. How exciting is that in our Christian life? But so many times in our Christian life, we want to limit God because we have our agenda that we want to fulfill. And God has so much more than that for us in our life. We all have choices. We all have choices. We serve a loving God. He wants what's best for you. He wants to do more than you ask or think. And He is powerful to accomplish it. But you know what? He gives you the choice. You know what? Some of the people that I went to college with, God gave the choice. And they've gone a different direction. And you know what? I'm sad to say they're going to miss some things in their life. Don't miss some things in your life. It's an exciting life to put God first. He's going to do great things. It isn't going to restrict you from what you want. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. But you know what? It might take 40 years. It may take 50 years. And I've learned in my life that God does one or two things. Either He gives you the desire of your heart, or He changes your desire. He changes your desire sometimes. You know, when I was in college, one of the years I roomed with Brother Malinek, and it was the year after that he did some skydiving. And he was talking about skydiving. I thought, you know what? I'd love to skydive. And an airport just south of us does skydiving in the summer. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do that. When it never really happened. But you know what? Now I'm in the plane. I'm thinking, you know what? This is a safe plane. I think I'll just stay in the seat. I have no desire to skydive anymore. You know, sometimes our desire changes a little bit in our life. Draw close to God and see what God will do for you in your life. God has something special for us, but we have choices. You know, Cain and Abel, two of the two first kids in the Bible, God gave them a choice. He said, you know what? I want a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And Abel returned God a blood sacrifice. But Cain says, you know what? I want to give a different sacrifice. He made his own choice in that life. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. But you know what? Cain ended up being cursed. You know what? Do what God wants you to do, and you will experience wonderful blessings. God wants so much for you. Don't look at the world and the things around you and have to suffer with the curse of sin on your life. God wants to do wonderful things in your life. God loves you in a very special way. I think of Cain and Abel, and I think, you know what? They didn't have the distractions we have today. Rock music, you know, and bad friends. You know, they were the first kids. So they weren't influenced by the bad friends, which friends are very important. And if you have friends here that aren't good for you, you need to look to spiritually stronger friends in your life. Don't look for equal peers, because that's what we're comfortable with. You know, we kind of like to be, you know, stretch the limits a little bit on everything, and you find somebody that will do that with you. Go a step above and look for those that want to do what's right and say, you know what, I want that person to help me do what's right. That's what God wants in your life. But we have a lot of sin available to us. You get on the internet and you got to be really careful. You know what? We have decisions every day that we have to make in our life. And it's those decisions that we have to make a choice in our mind. Are we going to submit to what God wants? Or are we going to submit to what our eye wants to see? That's what God wants in our life. We all have choices to make. What are your choices this morning? Choose to do what God wants you to do. And you can experience, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to His power that worketh in you. I don't know where you're at today in your life. I don't know what your plans are for this summer. But you know what? I urge you to spend some time and draw close to God in your life. See what God would have you do. Put all the distractions of the world aside and say, God, what do you want in my life? And as we put God first in our life and submit to His leading in our life, God will bless you way above measure than what you ask or think. It is so exciting to follow God. It is the best choice you can ever make. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, make that choice today. If you don't know God in a special way, I urge you to spend time with God. Get to know God in a special way. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to do something special with you. And then when you know God's will in your life, submit to Him. Follow His leading in your life. You will never be disappointed. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings on my life. Lord, I ask that You would continue to bless Fairhaven. Lord, Lord, we ask that You would guide the staff to make right decisions in their life. Lord, we ask that You would work in the hearts of young people here, that they would determine to choose You and to do what is right. Lord, that they would submit to You and follow Your leading every day of their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.